This summer, we're going to do a series about superpowers, about superheroes. We're going to discover by the time the summer's over that we're God's superheroes. God has equipped us with power, with a gift, the gift of the Spirit. And that gift of the Spirit can get out there and save the day. It can get out there and change the world. It can make people's lives better. I don't know if you knew this, but we have probably Michigan's foremost expert on superheroes as a member of our congregation. And I spent a couple of minutes with him this weekend interviewing him about superheroes. And I learned a lot about superheroes. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to the comic guru.
Gone through probably a couple hundred thousand for sure. And when I met Maggie, I had like 50,000 comics, you know, in one location. So they're fun to move, by the way. Filled up a van and yeah, sunk it down. The first one I bought and saved was X-Men 149. I was sick, 12, and a buddy went up and bought it for me. But I'd actually, when I was a kid, I remember Hot Stuff, The Little Devil. And Richie Rich. And then my sister was dating a guy that read comics. So that's what kind of got me into him. You know, I read all of his that he had over the house. I've always been a super fan of Superman. But, I mean, he's, you know, the world's most powerful Boy Scout. You know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, American dream, you know, all that stuff. That I'm patriotic, that's for sure. And there's not many more people patriotic than Superman. Underdog, too. Big fan of Underdog. I still got my sheet and pillowcase and piggy bank from when I was a kid. Underdog. And, yeah, those are the two biggies, I guess. Or, I mean, boy, wouldn't it be cool. I mean, any of these powers, if you're invisible or, you know, read minds or... that's probably the biggest conversation in a lot of people, let alone comic fans. You know, what power would you have? What power would you like to have, you know, fly or super strong or, yeah, invisible or, you know. So I think a lot of it is that, kind of wanting to be like. That's actually what put Marvel Comics on the map. You know, in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, you know, I mean, Superman, he could push planets, you know, and go back in time. And, you know, the Flash running faster than the speed of light and, you know, Superman can fly in and out of black holes. I mean, just, you know, really, what was there? He's totally indestructible. Well, then Marvel came out with 1961, The Fantastic Four, a family that fought and bickered, you know, and broke up. I mean, they broke up after two issues. Nope, we're not a team. You know, the thing left. And, you know, Spider-Man, just a teenage geek that no one liked. He got picked on all the time. And, you know, he had the struggles everyone has, the struggles we have today. He's been kicked out of his house, you know, lost his apartment. You know, his aunt, who takes care of him, probably had 35 heart attacks, that poor lady. Over the years, she has one every couple years. And I think what we were talking about earlier, you know, envying them for their superpowers, but being able to relate to them, that's what Marvel brought to comic books, humanity, you know, relatability, I guess, you know, vulnerability, because they were all indestructible. Either, you know, your individual talent, your God-given gifts that, you know, we use. You know, everyone loves Dallas Yost, and her God-given gift is just being awesome, you know. And Claire, her gift is, you know, she runs things. She's in charge of stuff. She gets stuff done, you know.
Thanks. Thanks, John. And Dallas, did you know that you have the superpower of awesomeness? I know, it's a new spiritual gift, awesomeness. I didn't know that. I had a 45-minute conversation with John in those 4 minutes. It's just a glimpse of some of what he told me about his love and passion of superheroes and of comic books. 50,000 comic books. Bridget, that makes my baseball card seem a lot more manageable, doesn't it? It does. It does. You know, every summer now, you kind of wait for it. You wait for the summer superhero blockbuster movie. Every summer it comes out. This summer there was at least three of them that come out. One yet to come, Captain America, right around the corner. Who's waiting to see Captain America? I know this guy is ready to see it. Green Lantern. Has anyone already seen Green Lantern, right? Some of you have gone out and seen the Green Lantern. This is Thor, starring Steve Williams, right? I put that up there, and Steve said, he's in the back going, yeah, that's right, baby, that's me. Over the last few summers, it's been movies like Iron Man has caught a lot of people's attention. The Spider-Man phenomenon. Katie likes Spider-Man. I know, she's got kind of a little bit of a crush. Sorry, and she likes Spider-Man, I know. But Batman in the 90s, that was a big movie. I'll never forget 1978, my mother took me to see Superman. And that's back when movies were, we didn't have these 18-screen movie theaters. They had one screen in my little hometown, and it was the whole theater, right? I mean, and it was just this humongous screen, and there was nothing like seeing Christopher Reeve. I mean, was there anybody more perfect to play Superman than Christopher Reeve? And I remember that movie and it capturing my imagination and it capturing my attention. I mean, one thing Hollywood has figured out is that people will go to see superheroes. That Americans have a fascination with superheroes. I mean, we're drawn to them. We are drawn to their stories. And as John was explaining to me, I think one of the reasons we're drawn into them is because not only are they these superheroes, but they're also these kind of regular, everyday folks as well. I relate a lot more with Clark Kent than I do with Superman. Clark Kent, kind of a nerdy, geeky kind of guy who has self-esteem problems and self-esteem issues, is embarrassed to talk to the pretty girl in the office. And yet we know that inside of him, there's something else going on. Or Bruce Banner, the Incredible Hulk. I didn't know this. I learned from John is that one of the reasons that the Hulk had this inner anger within him is that he grew up in an abusive home as a kid, the comic book character. And so he had this anger and this rage going inside of him. And when he became the Hulk, it was that anger that came out for justice, to do right, to protect the innocent and the weak. It was that inner turmoil that kind of raged within him. We touched on it. John touched on it. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, right? This poor guy. I mean, John said that there's no other superhero that's had more sand kicked in his face than Peter Parker. He was the. Is that why you love him, Katie? That's why you love him, right? I mean, he was a kid that nobody could connect with, nobody could relate with. He wasn't very popular, and yet when he put on that suit, something new would happen to him. I learned about this guy, Tony Stark. He's the Iron Man character. He struggled with addiction in his human character. In fact, he had to give up the Iron Man suit for 2 years because he was struggling with alcoholism. The character was written into the book. And I think we relate because there are these human characters, these human people that when the time is right, are able to put aside all of their human frailties and become the superhero that is inside of them. I think there's a picture here of Superman, right? I think that's why we relate and why we connect with the superheroes. Because when trouble arises, they set aside their troubles and they become the superheroes that are always inside of him. They summon their true identity. They pull out their secret powers and then they use those powers to save the day, to save the girl, to defend justice, to restore the world back to its rightful state of peace and balance. Superheroes. They're there when you need them, and they're there with the very thing that you need. Superheroes always have a way of saving the day. And I think as humans, we want to do that too. We want to believe that despite our struggles and our brokenness and our foibles and our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits, that deep down inside us, when it really matters, we can summon some sort of inner strength and inner power to save the day, to change the world. Deep down inside of us, there is a superhero just waiting to break free. I practiced that at home, and Bridget said, don't do it. I was going to put my Superman shirt on underneath, and we practiced it. It wasn't a pretty sight, but, I got to ask, if you were a superhero, what power would you want to have? Who'd want to fly? Any flyers out there? There's a couple of people that want to fly. Who'd want to be invisible? Oh, well, more of you like to be invisible, okay. Who'd like to have super strength, human strength? Dave, yeah, like that'd be good for golfing, right? Bam! Hit that out there. How about super speed? Anybody want to have super speed? John wants the super speed. Dave wants the super, the marathoner wants the super speed out there. All right, I'm even afraid to ask this one. How about X-ray vision? All right. Yeah, all the teenagers in the back raise their hand on that, right? No one else will admit that one. How about read minds? Read minds. Maybe you'd like a more practical superpower. How about being able to find misplaced things? Like your keys, right? Do you guys know that my wife has that superpower? Because I do not have that superpower. Every morning she unleashes that superpower on the world to find my keys. How about the ability to be in two places at once? Who'd like that one, right? That'd be a good strength to have. How about this one? How about just knowing the right thing to say? Do you like that superpower of just knowing the right thing to say? You know, I asked my Facebook this week. I put out on my Facebook account. I just asked that question. I said, I'm doing a sermon about superheroes. And I said, if you could have any one superpower, what superpower would you like to have? And the people listed, I got about 50 responses. And the people who responded said things like you have raised your hands about. A lot of people want to fly. A lot of people want super strength. Some of them talked about these more practical powers. But this thing kind of kept coming up over and over and over again. More and more people said, if I could have one power, that power would be to heal. To take away people's pain. Take away people's heartache, their brokenness, to restore people to health and wellness, the power to heal. And I think that, and I see all the heads kind of nodding when I say that. And that's because I believe, like we were saying, deep down, we all want to believe that when the time is right, we could pull back our weakness and pull back our frailty, and we could be that person for those others in our lives who are hurting, that we could be that person for those in the world who are hurting. We deep down want to be superheroes. And that's what I'm here today to remind us, is that God has given us the gift to be everyday superheroes. In our humanity, with all of our brokenness, with all of our hang-ups, all of our habits, all of our hurts, you and I have been given the gift. A gift that will allow us to be those people who will help save the day. It's right there in the fifth chapter of Galatians, and we're going to be looking at that chapter over and over and over again over these next few weeks. Because Paul writes about a gift that we have been given. And Paul writes about a gift that we've been talking about since Pentecost here. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. That's right, the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we get that. Let me explain that to you for a minute. See if you can sink in. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God has taken that Spirit and put it in you. And he's put it in me. The very Spirit of the living God now lives in us. And it's the gift that we have been given. And if you don't hear me say anything else to you today, make sure that you hear me say that. You and me have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It lives in you and it lives in me. And Lord have mercy if we ever realized that. If we ever came to believe that. If we ever came to believe that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, of God Himself, actually lives and breathes and works in us. Boy, when those moments came along and we felt like our humanness was getting the best of us, we would let those gifts emerge in us and become the people God has always, always, always called us to be. It is God's gift to you, and it is God's gift to me. It is the gift of God's Spirit, and it lives and breathes and works in you, and it lives and breathes and works in me. And here's the thing about a gift. It's not really a gift until it's been received. Let me give you an example. Suppose Bridget wanted to get me the best birthday present she could ever get me in the whole world. Lifetime tickets to the Green Bay Packers. Right? Lifetime tickets plus air travel to every game for till I leave this earth. It's the best Christmas birthday present. She would go to great sacrifice in order to get me that gift. She would get it to me because she knows that's what I want and that she loves me so much. She would do that to give me that gift, and she gives me that gift for my birthday, and I say, you know what? I'm really not worthy to have this gift. It's too much. I'm going to put that gift on my dresser, and I'm just going to let it sit there. I'm never going to use that gift. Year after year is going to go by, and I'm never going to go to one of those games. I'm never going to enjoy one of those games. I'm never going to use the gift that she has given me because somehow along the line, I don't believe I'm worthy to receive that gift. I'm too human. I'm not worthy enough for a gift that big and that gracious. Would that mean that she never gave me the gift? It just means I never used the gift. I never enjoyed the gift. I never truly received the gift. The same is with God's Holy Spirit. God has given it to us. And if we feel like we're unworthy to use it, it doesn't mean God hasn't given it. God has given you the gift. And our job now is to simply open it, receive it, use it, enjoy it, and then give it to others so that they may see that they've been given that gift as well. And what does that gift of the Spirit look like? Paul says it is this. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, is joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Is there more? Yes. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Hear that list of gifts again. These are the superpowers that you and I have been given. And as you hear these gifts read again, listen. Listen and hear what superpower you wish you had more of in your life. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the powers that you and I have been given. And can you argue with those? What would the world be like if there was more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in it? What if you could call up those gifts and those powers when you needed them or someone else needed them? You could literally save the day. As the parent of a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, I'm praying for that gift of patience to take more root and more. She's like, you just wait, preacher, right? I see Jessica nodding her head. You ain't seen nothing yet. Those are the gifts. And each week of this summer now, we're going to take each one of these gifts and we're going to look at it. Next week, starting with love. And we're going to have a superhero. John Hogacker is going to be our superhero next week. Look to you. Wait till you see him. Each week a superhero. I think you're the next week, right, Katie? Yes, I think so. So each week one of our members is going to become a superhero, one of these superheroes. And we're going to talk about how that gift, that power unleashed on the world can help change it. For we have been called to become everyday superheroes. People like these people here, like Mackenzie Barrett, high school student from outside of Atlanta, Georgia, has a chronic knee condition, lives in pain. She says sometimes it feels like her knee is literally about to blow up. And as a teenager living with this excruciating pain, she said the only thing that ever helped her was the love of reading. When she was overcome with pain, she would open a book and she would escape into the words of books and stories, and she grew this great love of books. And one day, one of her pediatricians told her about a shelter for women and children in her community. And she said, I bet some of those kids are just like me, who live in pain and would like a story or a book so they could escape for a moment into another world. And so she went to her church and she asked them to bring some books, and she thought she'd get 300 books. She got 3,000 books. And 4 years later, she has now collected over 60,000 books that have gone out into the homeless shelters around her community and around her state of Georgia. This last year, recognized as one of CNN's heroes. An everyday superhero overcoming her own pain to become somebody else. Or like this guy. This is Roy Foster. Roy is a Vietnam veteran who came home riddled with the struggle that so many veterans come home with. Got involved in drugs and alcohol. Found himself living on the street. Had an encounter with Christ. Changed his life. And now he goes out onto the streets every day in his Florida community looking for veterans. Looking for veterans who have fallen on hard times. And he grabs them and he brings them off the street. And he brings them to a place. And he has a ministry called No Man Left Behind. And he gets them one by one by one, overcoming his own pain, the gift of love, transforming the lives of others. Or like this guy, Alex Griffin, Eagle Scout, born in a Russian orphanage, adopted by an American family. And what did he do for his Eagle project? He decided to build a playground. A playground for the very Russian hospital that saved his life. Everyday superheroes changing the world around us. It's the gift. It's the gift we have been given. You know, when I was a kid, I loved Superman too. I didn't tell John that yesterday, but he was my favorite. Me and my little brother, we'd come downstairs every Saturday morning. That's the one they had Saturday morning cartoons. You remember Saturday morning cartoons? We'd get up before mom and dad would get up. We'd go down, pour ourselves big bowls of cereal, right? And when they were still sleeping, I'd get the Tupperware bowl out. Remember those, right? And you'd pour a half a box of Lucky Charms in there, and you'd get the big spoon, right? And we'd sit down, and we'd watch superheroes. And our favorite superhero was Superman. And my favorite thing about Superman is when he'd step into that phone booth, I'd say to my brother, uh-oh, here he goes, right? Because a couple of minutes before that, he was just Clark Kent, walking around with his nerdy glasses, wearing his nerdy shirt, and all the people of, he lived in Gotham City or Metropolis? Metropolis, right? I'm a baseball man, but in Metropolis, they'd pick on him. Jimmy Olsen picked on him. He couldn't get Lois Lane, but Lord have mercy if he ever found himself a telephone booth. Because he would step into that telephone booth and suddenly this new identity would emerge and he'd come out of that phone booth with this S on his chest and suddenly all of the criminals of Metropolis had better beware. Because he was faster than a locomotive and something about speeding bullets and he could jump over, I had this down in practice, he could jump over buildings with a single bound, you know. I'd say to my brother, we'd say it together, is it a bird? No. Is it a plane? No, it's Superman. Clark Kent was always Superman. My hope and my dream is that this place is our spiritual phone booth. That we can walk into this place every week bringing our Clark Kent around us, our aches, our pains, our wounds, our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups, and we can emerge from this place with a spiritual S on our chest. And we can walk through these communities with love and joy and peace and patience. And when we walk into party stores with a plate of cookies, they would say, is it a bird? No. Is it a plane? No, it's those super saints from the cookie church. It's the super saints from the cookie church. Friends, this summer, let us discover the gift that God has given us. And then let us go out into the world and unleash it. Step into the spiritual phone booth this summer. And let us emerge. I'm going to do this before the summer is over. Let us emerge as the people God has always called us to be. Amen.